iHeart Podcast.
Gosh, it's We Knows Parenting. Welcome back, or welcome for the first time. I'm Peter McNerney.
Welcome whenever. I'm Beth Newell.
Whenever it is you're listening to this, in whatever order, blah, blah,
whatever
blah,
time
blah, blah,
you choose, we're okay with it.
We're great. We're great.
No judgments, even if it's at a weird time.
We might judge it, so just don't tell us.
So we've had a big week.
Well, we had our live show last week.
Yeah, well, that rocked our world. It was a big change in energy from between sitting at home alone in our living room, as we usually do.
In the dark with maybe a little candlelight and a clinkety-clankety scotch.
Soft mood lighting.
Mm-hmm. Back rubs.
We were out in the world, you know, and it was big.
If you listened to it, hopefully you did, you could probably tell we have a slightly different energy. I was jazzed. Sorry, we had a different
this
energy.
This is what you get. we had that happened, and then we also had Maven's birthday this week, yeah. Or at least we celebrated it.
So when you're if you listen to this, when it comes out, her birthday's tomorrow, but we celebrated it early when we were all around. My mom was in town. And it was 3-year-old birthday parties.
It was the most epic birthday day I think we've ever had.
Ooh, you think?
Yeah. I can't really remember a detailed description of our last birthday with Bryn. So,
well, I think Bryn's first birthday, we actually invited a bunch of friends up to the suburbs.
Yeah. And then we've just been phoning it in because our kids don't fully understand what birthdays mean.
But this was the first one that Maven cared about.
Yeah, and it was kind of built up because Bryn understands birthdays and he's very into the calendar. So, and it feels, there's something about the age of 3, which she is about to turn, which feels sort of like a more epic birthday to me because she's like a little person now.
She has points of view. Well, you know, we talk about the three-nager. Terrible twos, I think, is BS. We've talked about this before. And threes,
depends,
I think,
on the kid, but you know, there's horrible moments in both. But the three-nager is like a new level.
I really think it is very similar to adolescence, where there's this innate thing in you that it's telling the child to venture out and be independent. And so part of that is rejecting the control and the comfort of a parent.
They're suddenly noticing all these details about the world around them, and they're so on fire about it. They're I need that. I want.
Yes. I almost fully shattered this glass in my hand.
Yeah, you got passionate about.
I got real.
These three measures. But she's just so much more thoughtful and smart in a nice way. Also, she was telling me tonight, she was like, so-and-so at daycare is my best friend, and also this person's my best friend, but I don't like this boy. And she named one of the boys, and I was like, why? And she was like, he said na-na-na-na. And she was like, but it was she had clearly felt hurt, thought about it, remembered it. You know what I mean? She was very she was like, I'm forming my opinions of these people and I'm not pleased. And she, I guess two of the boys said na 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 at her. And she's like, it was a moment.
So did I talk about teaching Bryn how to ignore somebody who's teasing him?
Yeah.
So he told me that he's teasing and I was like, just ignore them. And he goes, what does ignoring mean? And we got into it. He's now interpreted ignoring as pretending you can't hear them. I'm like, yeah, that works. And so Maven was doing something to bug him specifically because he was reacting to it. So she kept saying it. And then Bryn just started going, Maven, I'm pretending not to listen to you. Maven, Maven. And then she wasn't paying attention anymore. He goes, Maven, Maven, I'm not paying. Maven, I'm not listening. Maven, I'm not listening to you. And I'm like, Bryn, you're sort of missing the point here, buddy.
getting attention is at such a core part of his being.
Yeah.
Could we quickly tell the story of when you found him this morning with a tub of spaghetti out on?
Okay, so here's what happened. I woke up. I went into, Bryn was up, as he is. I went into the bathroom where I found a full Tupperware of spaghetti and meat sauce on the lid of the closed toilet. And I go, hey, Bryn. And he comes in, he goes, huh? He comes around the corner and his face is covered in tomato sauce. I go, hey, Bryn, did you eat this? And he goes, no. I'm like, well, you know you have tomato sauce all over your face, right? And he, I saw a lot of calculations go across his face.
He's thinking, he's like, I can get out of this.
Yeah, and he goes, okay.
I've got this.
And he goes, yeah. I'm like, so you ate this pasta? No, I put the tomato sauce on my face, but I didn't eat it.
Classic.
It's like, you're committing to this lie and I'm going to let you get away with it.
It's such a classic Bryn move to go get up early in the morning and get some elaborate, strange snack for himself and make a mess.
Yeah. So the two things I want to talk about. Well, one, big news came in today, Beth.
Big news. Oh, yeah.
Bryn did not get into the Dos Caminos dual language program, which is fine. There's a few things I want to talk about this. One, it came in and I saw the voicemail and I listened to it. And I was shocked at how sad I was. Listening to it, like getting a rejection, it was also like tied up into my whole history of wanting things, applying or auditioning and not getting things. And I had a real short period, a few moments of like genuine sadness. And it was like the same time I was looking at all these pictures of this Story Pirate tour that went to Minnesota, where I'm from, that I was going to go. And then I canceled it. Then all my friends were there and I was like, just had this like intensely sad 2 minutes today, which I got over because he's not getting in this program, which is a bummer because I was really sold on it. It was really cool. But the alternative is still our local school, which is a very good school. And this got me thinking about so many of our friends who still live in the city and like the whole process of finding a school in New York City and the various lotteries.
Yeah.
What a nightmare. And I just got a 2 minute glimpse into that anxiety and I felt like sad and I was like, this is not a big deal.
Yeah. But we were like gambling on like a bonus, like feature, like in an already good school system. Yeah.
He already goes to pre-K to the school that he's going to go to next year. And we really like it. And I think it's a really good school.
I feel pretty lukewarm about the whole thing. Like, I just kind of, I think in the back of my mind, I was always like, well, if he gets in, then it means like, you know, he's meant to be in that program. And if he doesn't get in, it's not meant to be. And maybe it means that we will end up not living in this town for the rest of our lives. Who knows?
Yeah,
you know what
so
I mean?
You took like, this as a sign that we're moving to LA. And I did not reply to that text that you sent me.
This program is kind of like an investment. So I know like if he got in, which, and we had to move, like we would make it work, but I would at some point feel sort of sad that he had like, you know, started this program and then sort of disrupted it in, you know, in a way, you know what I mean?
I was thinking if we got in, it would be a good excuse to not move to LA. Have we talked about this? This is a constant thing back and forth between myself and Beth.
We have talked about this.
Okay, great. We won't talk about it more then.
Yeah.
But yeah, it really was that like, Bryn's going to be fine. We're great, but it is not the case for everybody. And it's if you're in one of those situations where like the not knowing where your kid's going to go to school and that's not in your hands, I feel for you. So that's that. You know what else I did today?
What?
I left the groceries in the car for about 6 hours.
Oh right. How were they still chill?
Yeah, they were. It was fine. It was in the 50s today, so it wasn't too bad. And there was salmon in there, and I decided to keep it.
Okay. All right.
But this was after spending a weekend with my mom, who's in town for the birthday, which was great. And she specifically talked about that. She's like, I'd have kids, I'd go buy groceries and just... she's talking about the grocery store in Minnesota where you'd pull up and they'd load your car for you when because it's too cold there all the time. And she's like, sometimes I just go get in my car and drive home and forget to pick up the groceries. And I was like, yeah. Oh, mom.
I would definitely do that.
And then I did it today.
So much of my day is me saying aloud to myself, like, basic information. Like, being like leaving the house, I'm always like, keys, wallet, phone. You know, because I'm always sort of like, even if I sort of somehow fuck this up, I've got one of those three things. I can call for help or get back in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just, because my brain is so tired, like the, I feel like the mom brain that all of us have is just so overworked by trying to calculate like 100 different like emotional labor things that need to happen in the course of a week. And yeah, I would totally do something like that.
Boy, I'm so sleep deprived because I had to get home at 11:30. Then I still had to watch Game of Thrones, and it's like a 90-minute episode. No regrets.
Are you complaining about having to watch Game of Thrones?
No. I'm complaining that HBO Go streaming was not a very quality picture.
Mm-hmm.
Did I tell you that Bryn told me that the Easter Bunny speaks Spanish? The Easter Bunny came to daycare. And I was like, oh, yeah. And there was like a man in a suit. I don't know who it was. But I was asking Bryn. I was like trying to find out who was in the suit without ruining the illusion. So I was just like, oh, is it a real bunny? And I got him to basically say, it was a person, I think, because he saw his shoes. And I was like, but the Easter Bunny doesn't talk, right? And he goes, no, he doesn't talk. Well, he did at the end in Spanish. And I was like, I think this is the upstairs neighbor or something.
It looked very similar to the Easter Bunny costume that was at that chocolate store I took the kids to once when they were little.
Yeah, he was equally sad and creepy costume.
Very sad, creepy Easter Bunny. It's just like there's something about it. Like it's so expressionless. And then the person sitting inside of it is always just like limp armed. Like, you know what I mean? Like these people.
Limp armed.
These people who are not performers who are hired to like be in these costumes.
They're not taking up space. They're just.
No.
Sort of,
not like there for the love of the art.
You can tell whether they're acting with their full body or not. Do you ever sit on the Easter Bunny's lap? I never did that. It seemed creepy.
That's the kind of thing that I feel like we would have pictures of happening in our preschool growing up. Like they would have Santa come.
Santa, at least you could talk to a person. But do you have any... Like the Easter Bunny does not have a personality.
No. There's no like good Easter Bunny movies or like... You know,
yeah. Describe to me the attitude of the Easter Bunny.
Right,
it's zero.
Like, he just sneaks in at night, and that's it.
Yeah, it's like he doesn't even know what he's doing. It's like
it's a
dead-eyed rabbit.
Just eat this food.
He's like, I gotta get it done.
Yeah, like Santa, he has a jolly laugh. He's got a twinkle in his eye.
All right, here's a task for our listeners. This is weird. We've never asked anything about this before, but. Please write in with a compelling backstory for the Easter Bunny. That paints a picture.
No, Peter,
of
I can
their...
tell you what happened.
Oh, yeah, what happened?
Christianity swooped into Europe at some point in history. They realized they didn't have any traditions that the people living there really wanted to partake in. So they renamed existing pagan traditions after Christian things and tried to mash holidays together.
I know
so that we have completely nonsensical religion.
I understand exactly how the holiday happened, but I'm just saying improve the character for me.
Mm-hmm.
What's the in my mind, like the Easter Bunny is like enslaved. Like it's not like the Santa Claus who
enslaved.
I'm sorry, that was a strong word.
Okay.
But Santa Claus seems like he's in charge, right? But the Easter Bunny seems like he's maybe cursed for all existence to like just serve humans mm-hmm. in this weird way. So what did the Easter Bunny do to deserve this? Write in and let us know.
Okay.
Okay, so we're going to acknowledge in a weird way that we introduced this a second ago, and then we were interrupted with a phone call. And I never have my phone even on, and I forgot. And such an exciting phone call
And you
happened.
Decided to answer the phone on air while we were recording.
And we recorded it, and I can't tell you what it was, but I want you to know that we will soon release this.
We had a very exciting phone call. You guys are going to love it.
You're going to love it. Boy, is it funny.
What I think is so funny about it is that I think people are really going to think we staged it and made it up and that the phone call isn't real.
It makes zero sense for us to talk about it right now because literally can't talk about it.
Okay, but I'm just saying. I do think it's going to read as fake. It's
well, anyway, you might forget about it, but we called it. It's real. Anyway, we knows wins besides what just happened. I had an interesting thing happen to me this week. So for Maven's birthday, you got her like a play makeup kit.
Yeah. Well, I copied my friend Sam, whose daughter is also turning 3 this week, and she got her daughter this kit recently, and I was like, oh my God, that's exactly what Maven wants. You know what I mean?
I got to admit, I saw this and my weird dad brain was like, oh, I don't like this makeup. Yeah. It's bad. Like self-image. I didn't know what I was supposed to think about it.
This is what I felt like was a win for me about this birthday is that this was the first birthday she really had like a personality and she wasn't just kind of like a baby. And so we were able to really lean into like what she would want a birthday to be like.
Yeah.
And what that was the pinkest, girliest birthday ever. And she loved like every second of it. Like she loved, like your mom gave her a ballet costume, like a ballerina outfit and
she
ballet shoes.
Loved it.
And like we got her this other unicorn tutu and like this fake play makeup. And like I was sort of like wondering if she'd be disappointed that the play makeup was like not actual makeup, it's just plastic that you pretend to put on. And she's like, I need to get my pretend makeup. And she's like so into it. She's obsessed. And I was like, oh, this is such a good gift for her.
Yeah, I thought you were getting her like a real like little kid makeup. And I was like, I don't like this at all. But it's you pretend. And I was like,
I don't mind the idea of her playing with makeup. It's just that her and Bryn are so insatiable when anything like that is in the house that I know it's just going to get smeared all over everything when they find it when I'm not looking. You know what I mean?
Anyway, the next day or the day after the makeup bag was out and I sat down and Bryn and Maven were both looking at the fake makeup kit. And Bryn was picking up these things and he didn't know what they were, but he sort of got the idea and was like, just sort of like putting like the powder puff thing to his, face. And what then followed was no exaggeration, a 15 to 20 minute tutorial.
What? How do you have this much to say about makeup?
I was a theater major, and I've watched 13 seasons of Drag Race.
So you're like really watching their makeup application and studying?
This is from being in theater, and I know how to do makeup. I mean, it's stage makeup, so it's like, but I went through each of these things. Like he had his blush, and he was like, got the big brush and he was doing his whole face. And I was like, no, 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 my son, this is not how you apply rouge. And I was like, now smile. See, these are your cheekbones. And I really did it. I taught my son how to use the mascara, the eyeliner, the blush, the powder, the nail polish, the lipstick. And he was into it. It was as it was happening. I was like, this is so funny. Like never This is obviously not something, an experience I had with my father or my mother.
You didn't know you'd feel this passionately about the way makeup is applied.
I didn't know that. I was sort of like, Maven was sort of asking me things. And I was a little bit ignoring Maven because Bryn was there. I was like, Bryn, no, you can't put lipstick on with both your lips closed. Do you have to open a little here, a little here? Like, that's too wide. You don't want to get it on your face. And then you're together.
What's funny is Maven is playing with it and she's like, we can't make a mess. Like, she, like, even though it is totally pretend nail polish, she's like, don't spill it. And I'm like, oh, that's really useful part of play. But she also, like, she'll try to correct me on things and she'll put, like, the nail polish on her eyelids or something and be like, it goes on your eyes.
Mommy, she's it goes, like, on your eyes. The one thing, the mascara thing. There's no makeup. It's all totally fake. So nothing is coming off these things. But whoa, you just drop your drink?
Yeah, it's a sloppy night over here.
Because of that long phone. Normally at the beginning of this podcast recording, we have a little drink. You can always hear it clingety clangety. But then this phone call was a half an hour, and so
was it a full half hour?
It was a full half
hour. I have to say. This phone call, no, I can't talk about it.
It was terrible content without being able to talk about what it was. But the drinks normally settle in near the end of the episode, and now they've settled in early. And then we went and got an extra drink.
Well, I had to have a drink to calm down from that phone call, much like when I was watching Game of Thrones last night.
You watched the scariest episode of Game of Thrones of all time by yourself at night.
From the very moment I was hitting play, I was like so on edge, and I was like, I had to like go make myself a drink, like get some food, like set the scene. And then I was like, should I just wait for Peter? Like I started watching and I was like, this is so intense. I'm so scared. Maybe I should wait for Peter to get home. And then I was like, I can't.
I wish
wait.
You had.
No, because I would have been up so late.
I know. I was up till 1:30 in the morning.
Yeah. No, that's not good.
I have to work every Sunday night. Will you wait for the last episode with me? How much do you love me?
Well, this will certainly be the test of that.
Yeah, it certainly will.
Okay, so anyway, we're talking about...
I put makeup on my son.
Makeup on your son. Yeah.
Oh, no. He took the mascara.
Our kids love makeup.
I was trying to teach... I was a little nervous about the mascara because they're like putting a thing near their eye. And I'm like, I'm not super confident you're not going to poke yourself in the eye. So I explained what it was for, and then Bryn grabs it and just points it directly at his eyeball sword. He's being very careful, but he points it like, are you supposed to poke yourself in the eye? I'm like, no. And so we spent a lot of time with me going like, perpendicular to your face, start low and go up.
The fake mascara feels really deadly to watch them play with. You're just like, ugh.
But they figured it out.
Yeah. This is how they learn, I guess. This is how, you know, at some point you got to teach your kids to put on makeup. And
sometimes you got to teach your son how to put on mascara. And you have to be man enough to do that. Time for Did You Knows? This is where we learn stuff related to parenting and share it with you. Beth, what do you got?
Okay, so I wanted to talk a little bit about this article from the New York Times called Women Did Everything Right, Then Work Got Greedy. Subtitle is How America's Obsession with Long Hours Has Widened the Gender Gap. And so I don't know if you saw this, but...
I did see this.
Okay, so this article talks a little bit about how... in recent decades, the hours that people have to work at these sort of like high-level jobs in certain so-called greedy professions, like, I guess, lawyers, I don't know. I don't remember this detail.
Video game developers, that's a big...
Yeah.
No joke, a big one.
In certain fields, if you want to progress to these higher level positions, you have to be putting in really long hours. And they're talking about how this trend in a lot of jobs is sort of leading to this dynamic where women kind of have to stay home and pick up the slack for their families because their husbands are working way too long to, you know, help out at home. And so it's sort of talking about how it's not really that, like, women choose to stay home and that's what's widening this pay gap. It's sort of just like these long hours that some member of the family is forced to put in require that another member of the family is home more often. And that just happens to usually be the woman because the men have an easier time getting to these higher level jobs. And so, I mean, I thought it was really interesting and obviously very true. That is just, I think, I mean, I've said some version of this on the podcast before, but I think like women right now are in this position where, you know, we've been promised a certain level of education, access to certain fields and professions. And then the reality of it is that the world is really not built to serve us being there if we also have kids, et cetera, you know? So I don't know. This article was very interesting, just sort of explaining the numbers of it all.
Yeah, I am under. This is something I've been understanding because we don't have in terms of work hours. You have a more traditional work hours.
Yeah, I mean, we both have a lot of flexibility and also like a lot of things where we kind of have to jump at these opportunities. So it's like,
yeah, well, what
scattered,
I,
but it's like a yeah, lot what, of work.
What you have that I don't have, which is you have 3 days a week where you go into the city and you have an uninterrupted full work day.
Right.
Which I don't have any day of the week. And, but I'm flexible.
But you're home on those days usually with the kids at daycare, so you do have the whole day free. It's not like you can't.
Here that's how I plan it, and then auditions come up and a lot of the time I end up like with maybe one day of the week where that is the case. Cuz the second I go into the city, that's 3 hours out of my day I'm traveling. I can get work done, but it is just like the fragmented like nature of my schedule.
Right.
It's so quick that suddenly I'm behind on everything, and I'm lucky enough to have enough like a series of employers that are really flexible. And but if like I had people that needed me to be in a certain place at a certain time for certain hours, this would be me falling behind in this scenario. And
so you're saying in a hypothetical, you would be the one falling behind.
Well, I'm just saying that only recently in my life am I.
Series of employers that really flexible and put it like I had people that needed me to penis in place a certain time for certain hours. This would be me volleyball hand in this scenario.
Did you hear that? Web search
for it. Siri just repeating back to you everything you just said over the last like 5 minutes.
You want to hear what Siri thinks that I said? A series of employers, it really flexible and put it like I had people that needed me to penis in place a certain time for certain hours.
Yeah, me and Siri heard the same thing, basically.
This would be me volleyball hand in this scenario.
Yeah, that's right, Siri. That's right.
This is all me saying that I've had a little taste of
yeah,
of
well,
what
we've
this
both
is.
Had to make compromises for the sake of each other's work.
Yeah, and I feel really good about that.
We both appreciate that that is something we both need from each other.
If either one of us had full 9 to 5 hours all week, the other person would be paying for it in their own careers or their own time or whatever.
Yeah, it's
fucking tricky.
I do think, like, when I read some of these articles, like, I mean, obviously, this the major source of the problem, I think, is, like, the ways women are held back at work. But I also think some of these families would benefit from just, like, not trying to be the best. But do you know what I mean?
Wait, did you say these families would benefit from not trying to be the best? What does that mean?
Like they could have a healthier work-life balance if they didn't need one of them to be, like, at the top level. I mean, I don't know.
Well, yeah, that is the question. Do... You know, they're both of us have to compromise on things to accommodate the other person's opportunities.
Yeah,
it is that like if I was a full house husband, would you have more opportunities? And vice versa?
Well, do you ever think you would be comfortable being a full house husband?
No.
That's the thing. Like, well, I don't think...
More than I will amend that and say, more than I ever thought I would, I think I have really enjoyed becoming like a house dad and like taking care of shit and taking care of our kids and cleaning it up and all that. I'm really like proud that I have... that's become a part of my life that's automatic and it's not a thing I have to do. It's a thing that I do and I'm proud of it. But if that's all I was doing, maybe I would freak out.
Yeah. I don't think either one of us is suited to that. Like of just, I think it would be at a certain point, at a certain number of months of being like exclusively home, we would start to feel really suffocated.
Yeah. I do think though, maybe I might be a little more suited for it than you are.
I fully agree. It's not a matter of like any one aspect of taking care of our kids I'm okay with. I think it's it's spending too many hours a day with them makes like me feel insane because I'm never alone with my thoughts and I'm a person who at some point needs to be alone to like process the day. And so
yeah, your son, as many hours, but you do more of them in a row.
Yeah.
And your Sundays are long.
If I had to, I guess I could find a way to make it work, but I would have to be even more rigid about my like free time and my nighttime. Like I would have to be really careful that I was, I don't know, filling those voids.
Oh my God. Can we talk about, I've instituted a rule of my childhood.
Oh yeah.
And I feel really good about it.
You love instituting rules.
I do, but this one I really stand by. It's only been a week, so I'm not going to say that this figured everything out, but no TV on school days. That's what happened with me growing up, and I now get why my mom did it, which is just, it makes things easier because you don't have to negotiate how much TV or when it turns off. So I told Bryn, there's no TV on school days, and I have spent more time talking to my kids and playing with them and building things and drawing in the past week than I have in the past month.
Yeah.
And they actually are less crazy. The TV
I think
solves-
less TV is good. I'm definitely with you. I guess I don't know if I'm like 100% for the like rigid no TV on weeknights thing because sometimes you just are trying to get stuff done and you need a break. Like...
Yeah, but it's so short. Like, I pick them up at 5:30. They're in bed at 7:30.
Yeah.
We can handle 2 hours.
Anyway, we've made 2 cardboard box forts for our kids this week.
Yeah. Can we talk about how cool the box forts are? We have played together more. We both contributed to this box fort. Your cardboard handle you added is excellent.
You really love that.
I really do. Because I was thinking, I made a door, and I was like, there's not a good way to close this. And I came home... And Beth had taken the cardboard roll from the used up packing tape and taped it to the door, and it's a little circle handle. And I was like, this is fucking perfect.
Well, if there's one thing I'm comfortable bragging about myself is that I'm very crafty.
You are very crafty.
So if you need a door handle on your cardboard box, yeah, I've got you covered.
Well, you also played with these magnet box tiles that you have, and I love those things, and I literally like will neglect responsibilities to play.
That is the kind of game I'm much more comfortable playing with kids with, if I can sort of go into my head and just be trying to build something and like have a goal in my mind versus like play acting stuff, which I think you're better at.
But that is way more energy to have to like be a character.
Yeah,
even I can't handle too much of that. But I can sit down exactly the same and build a whole tower with them.
Yeah. And they're finally getting the age where they don't just knock it down the second you build it.
Okay, so,
which is really hard for you and me as control freaks.
Oh, yeah. So before you came on tonight, we all three of us were building little towers. And, of course, I'm like, don't destroy each other's things. And Maven kept going, I'm going to smash your tower. And Bryn's like, don't smash my tower. And she's like, I'm going to smash it.
She's so funny when she's playing these like bad characters.
She's like, I'm the bad girl.
I'm going to get
you. He then accidentally destroyed her whole tower. And you know when a kid like starts to cry, but there's a long silence before the sound comes out?
Yeah.
Never before in my life have I seen a longer silence. Her face immediately slow motion goes into this like it looked like, you know, the comedy and drama masks.
Oh.
Her face slowly transformed into the full tragedy face mask.
Severe meltdowns this week. I mean,
and then the cry was so slow and sad.
She had a meltdown at the end of her birthday party day on Saturday. Like, your mom was there all day and was like, wow, these kids are so well behaved. And I was like, uh-oh.
Just wait.
And then your mom left. And then very quickly afterwards, like, you ran out to do an errand. And Maven had a full, like, half-hour meltdown. Just, like, full of cake and red dye.
And in a unicorn costume.
And in a ballerina outfit, like, screaming. And then she kept doing this thing. She really figured out like the way to needle me, because she was taking a sippy cup of milk and then shaking the milk all over the carpet. And I was just like, ah, like it was like, that's like my nightmare. It's just, it's so gross. Like, I'm just like
milk everywhere.
Yeah. And I'm just like, ugh. And then, so she of course found a way to do it like three or four times, like keep running and finding. And then I would hide the milk, and then she would push the desk rolling chair over to the fridge and try to like get on top of the fridge. Like, she was, this is all while screaming. Like, she's like, just, she was like a White Walker for shaking milk on the carpet, you know?
She's a White Walker, but for shaking milk on the carpet.
Yeah. It was insane. That's how she is now sometimes. And Bryn had a similar thing last night.
In their defense, we gave them 10 pounds of sugar.
Yeah, well, it's just, those are the days where it just feels fully unavoidable. Like, I guess we just give in.
Could have been worse.
This next segment is Listeners Want to Knows. It's where you guys send us your questions and comments.
And as always, if you want to send us an email, you can do so at weknowspod@gmail.com. All right, here we go. Are you ready for this, Beth? It's later than it normally is.
I'm always ready. You can just go to the email.
I don't ever want you to be.
I've never not been ready for one of these.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Okay. Peter and Beth, thank you so much for the surprise live show recording today. This was last Thursday. Can't remember if
it
y'all...
It wasn't a surprise. We promoted it, but thank you.
I can't remember if y'all had announced this was coming today. I read this and I was like, we've been talking about it for 3 months. But
I understand. It was listen to podcasts with an eye for advertisements.
No, I think it's because we released it on a Thursday, which was a surprise.
I see. Okay. Yeah.
Blah 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 blah. Great. I have a listener wants to know for you. Listener,
oh my God,
want
there's
to
so much of
want
this that you could have edited out.
I've had two drinks. My aunt reads tarot cards. Oh boy, here you go, Beth. You already like this.
And I love our listeners.
She has been teaching me. I was skeptical at first, but as we have done it more and more, I am more and more convinced that it could be a real thing. I want my husband to let my aunt and I read his, mostly because I am nosy AF. The problem is he is definitely not a fan of my woo-woo witchy shit, as he calls it. It took an argument and some tears to get him to quit complaining about how my sage makes the house smell weird. He has told me he does not want me to read them, and I better not do it behind his back. One, I would never. Two, I can't. The reading wouldn't make sense without him putting his energy into it. Anyway, my question is, Peter, would you be open to getting your cards read, or would you refuse out of fear that Beth would take it super seriously and you would think it's dumb? I realize I am making the assumption that Beth is super down with tarot, and I could be wrong. Hope to hear back, and thanks for saving my sanity today. P.S. I've written y'all in the past about studying for parenting. And then I followed up. We did not put this on the podcast, but if she followed by telling us of how there's a very sad story. She lost the baby and her husband was then in ICE custody. So she's giving us an update. Final update is he is out on bond and we are finally legally married. We have a long fight, but he is home. So yay.
Oh my God. That is...
Love, Tara.
So nice to hear a positive, at least somewhat positive story.
I know we just threw a lot of context at you.
So anyway, back to our dumb
Sarah,
topic.
We're so happy for you. We're so glad that you're writing it. So I guess this is a question for me. Yeah. Would I do it? No.
You would never get a tarot reading?
I mean, if it was like really important to you, I wouldn't be a jerk about it. I would do it. But I don't think you want to do it for me. Do you?
What? I don't want to force you to do things. It doesn't seem like a good way to get you on board with them. But I think it's weird that you're so resistant to the idea of like even dabbling in or like hearing about something.
I am just in fear of being a jerk about it. And in my mind, I'm like, let's just put me in a position where I'm going to be a jerk. I would try not to. I'd try to be open, but I know that I would spend too much energy being skeptical about it and like trying to think about how it's BS.
Yeah. That's why I wouldn't want to make you get a tarot reading. It'd be like, why would I do that just to hear you try to find every like reason why it's not real? Like it's not...
And in general, I think we've got a good distance from it. I feel like we're at a point where like you don't feel like you need to hide things from me, but there's a healthy space where you know how much I'm going to be interested. And if you do bring it up and you do talk about it, whatever it is, anything related to this, I give all my energy to just going like, be open, be positive, turn off the part of your brain that's going to try to like pick it apart.
That's really funny.
But I will say, sage smells like shit. I hate it. Not because of the woo-woo witchy stuff. I just think it really smells terrible and it makes me feel nauseous.
Nauseous? Really?
Yeah. I mean, not like severely. Not so much that I'd be like, never do this. But I smell it and it has the opposite effect on me as it does on you. It is in no way soothing. I'm like, something happened in here.
I don't do it because I particularly like the smell. I do it for the effects on the room.
Yeah, well, that part doesn't happen for me, so it is a just like unpleasant odor.
Okay.
So I'll say... I've had to talk about this on a podcast and knowing people are listening, which has forced me to be more open to things and think about it. And most people don't have to do that. So as always, I'm just thinking about her husband. How do you, because I obviously relate to how he feels about it, but how do you encourage that person to loosen up a little bit? You don't have to believe it to like give it some air and be okay with it existing. My only advice is to start a podcast together, and it's not good advice. What's your advice,
Beth? Not at all good advice. The question was them asking for advice. The question was whether you would do a tarot reading.
You give me some drinks and we're all having fun. If I can just make it a game, I'd have fun.
Yeah, I mean, you just have to be willing to make the mental leap that you took to put on makeup, you know, with
That's a very real thing we were doing. It's tangible.
Okay. Yeah, all the pretend you do all week for your job is
Yeah. I know it's not real. That's why I love it. It is that idea that like, well, we've talked about this. The second it takes too seriously, then I get defensive and stupid. All right, we're going to move on. Ready? We answered it. Hey, Peter and Beth. Absolutely love listening to your show and have listened to almost all of them. As a very small daycare provider, you guys make me feel better about the tiny mistakes I make every day. I have 5 kids under 5, so my days are very fun and very crazy. All my daycare families are close friends or actual family, so I treat every kid like they are my own. Only one of them actually is mine. With lots of love and kind of lax schedule and rules. Since I have so many littles, when I get distracted by someone or something, the kids seem to take full advantage. Their favorite time to get in trouble is when I'm changing a diaper, cleaning up lunch, or trying to use the restroom. My favorite slash worst so far is using diaper cream as lotion, running out of the house, dumping every bucket with toys, and coloring the walls. So my question is, what is the worst things your kids have done while you were busy for 5 minutes or less? Thank you so much for all you do. Listening to you guys always makes me feel happy and feel related to. Thanks, Shelby from Iowa.
Oh, man. What is the worst thing? I'm not going to be able to think of this right now. But it's reminding me there was a video of this woman this week going around where she, like, her kids found her the clippers, like the hair clippers, and like buzz cutted their heads. And she was like in a nurse's uniform. She was trying to get ready for her night shift or something, which is like a very unfortunately relatable parenting problem. And you're just like, you feel so bad for her because it's like her kids are fine. Like she's like saying to the camera, she's like, hair grows back. It's going to be okay. But you know, she's feeling that feeling of like, everyone's going to think I'm the insane mom because I turned around for 2 seconds and my kids did that. You know what I mean?
Oh, I mean, I have a whole on Instagram. One of my most popular posts is about a series of 8 photos of just things I have found over the months. And I just pulled it up and I have here a full hand towel in the toilet. My own keys, which somehow were taken out of my pocket and placed, one of the keys was put in the crack of the front door. Like Bryn was pretending to use the keys, but couldn't reach the lock.
I don't know. Trying to escape our home.
Yeah. I don't even know how he got my keys. A half eaten sausage under a pillow, an apple eaten halfway, but from the bottom up.
Yeah, that tracks.
Packages ripped half open. Scotch tape completely pulled out to the end of the roll in a giant, like, foot diameter ball. Mm-hmm. And a full, perfect outline of a hand on the wall in Cheeto dust.
Yeah, we live with a pair of wild animals. They're like monkeys with human faces.
Oh, yeah, we didn't tell you the rest of our kids' bodies are monkeys. They've got tails. We woke up this morning and Bryn was standing at the foot of our bed where he did you see this? He'd laid out like 6 toys. And I'm like, Mommy's sleeping. And full box. It's just a lot of food.
I mean, this is every morning he does something like this where he's like playing a game with 2 toys like right next to your head. And you're like, please, for the love of God, just do that like 20 more feet away from here.
So this is I've made a point of every night I put the remote for the TV in a place where he can't reach because he used to go wake up and find it and start watching TV. And
now he just wreaks havoc on our home.
Well, that kept him away from us. But it made going to school a nightmare because I turn off the TV and it was meltdown.
Yeah.
So we are inviting
him. It works well on the weekends, though, I will say.
Oh, on the weekends. Yeah, I leave the remote out. This is fantastic.
You got it. This is our best parenting tip of all.
And this has been Listeners Wanna Knows. And this has been another episode of We Knows Parenting. As always, if you want to reach out, you can send us an email at weknowspod@gmail.com. If you have questions, a would you know scenario, let us know. Also, how about a rate and review? We haven't plugged that in a while.
Yeah, rate, review, and subscribe.
Tell us something fun about us, see?
Yeah, we've got a lot of funny bits. Put that in the reviews, see?
Talk about all the great character bits we do, see?
Yeah, a couple of old-timey nuts over here doing a real entertaining podcast.
Hey, tell us about the social media handles.
Okay, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, ye old Instagram, at We Knows Pod.
WeKnowsParenting.com for all the information. And that's it. You know what? We love you guys.
We love you guys.
Bye.